A US sports update for TGI Fridays, home of the legendary NFL Super Bowl party.
The Vault Studio NFL podcast is available on iTunes, and the men who do it are right here in this very studio, Richie Garraway and James Arthur. Hello, gentlemen.
How are you, Kev?
Good.
How you doing, Kev?
Good. What did you make? Firstly, I guess we've got to do the wash-up of what happened in the conference finals.
Yeah, I guess we should start there. Falcons pretty much destroyed the Packers to the tune of 44-21, and the Patriots beat the Steelers pretty convincingly because there was a junk touchdown at the end, 36-17. James, I guess we'll start with the Falcons and the Packers first. That Packers defense, which was ranked the worst in the NFL, was the worst in the NFL.
Yeah, it struggled all day, and Julio Jones and Matt Ryan and that dominant offense pretty much did whatever they wanted the entire game. I thought Gunter, who's been thrown in at cornerback for them since Sam Shields got injured earlier in the season, was a real liability, and he just couldn't stop Julio Jones. And they tried to get him off Julio Jones, but wherever he lined up, Matt Ryan found him and went after him over and over again, and it was a real weak spot.
So you're saying that, Richie, you're saying that the Packers' defense was terrible. You're not giving credit to Matt Ryan and Julio Jones enough here?
Oh, look, I'll certainly give credit to Julio Jones. He's arguably now the best receiver in the NFL, maybe behind Brown. And he can do something that Brown can't do, which is go up and get it. But that defense, I mean, it was ranked last in the NFL, and Matt Ryan, who could very well be announced as the league MVP, I think it's
Tuesday
our time. Yeah. There's every chance he's going to win that award, and he played like it. Like, as you said, he just found whoever was matched up on that very ordinary secondary, and he just tore it apart.
Yep. I think Matt Ryan's an outstanding quarterback, and I think he deserves the MVP this season. But we have to remember, he hasn't been this good ever. And that happens. Guys break out.
How long's he been around?
Oh, I think he was number one pick in 06, I believe.
Yeah.
So almost 10 years.
Okay.
So he's been around a long time.
This will be his best season by the time the numbers are all crunched.
And he's been good in the past, but he's never been this good. And last year, his second half of the season last year was really good under Kyle Shanahan once he started learning the offense. And I just give so much credit to their offensive coordinator, Kyle Shanahan. I just think he's an outstanding coach, and wherever he goes in the past, he's had success. At Washington, even at Cleveland, he had success with no talent, and he's come to Atlanta and really got them flying because they've had these players on their roster for 3-4 years. So it's not as if they've just got a couple of new players in and then they've excelled. They've had Tevin Coleman, they've had Freeman, they've had Ryan, they've had Julio Jones.
Sanu's the only real ad this year.
Maybe Taylor Gabriel, who the Browns actually cut. They've contributed a lot to this Super Bowl team. So the Browns have cut Alex Mack, who's the starting center in the Pro Bowl and on the Atlanta Falcons. Taylor Gabriel, who's the third string receiver for the Falcons. They also let Kyle Shanahan leave. They fired Kyle Shanahan, who went to Atlanta. They've done everything possible to make Atlanta a good football team.
Winning organization, the Cleveland Browns.
Yes, they also traded the picks away, which Atlanta picked Julio Jones with. So you wrap that all up, they've really ripped off Cleveland in the past.
They're the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah.
Unfortunately to everyone else except their own fans.
I think, do we need to mention Rodgers? I thought he was incredible.
He tried his guts out.
In an offense that has... He has carried them all season. When he's been bad, they've been bad. When he's been great, they've been great. It's been all him, all on his shoulders. No running attack. People telling me Ty Montgomery is going to turn into a full-time running back.
No. Nope.
He can turn into a full-time running back all he wants. It's not going to make them any better. He cannot pass protect. And what would you say, Richie? 60% of running back in the NFL's pass protection?
It certainly is in the modern game.
Yeah.
The biggest... They need a running game. Yeah. There's no two ways about it.
And Eddie Lacy, he could come back at 500 pounds. We don't know how big he's going to come
Every
back.
Time he goes home in the off-season, he likes mama's cooking.
Yeah.
And
he's been injured since the fifth week of the season.
Yeah.
So
he's either overweight or injured.
Yeah.
Personally, I think...
a good option.
It's not. And I really think this year, in the draft, they've got to trade up, spend everything, and go and get Fournette. Because you put Fournette, who's a running back out of LSU, he's probably the best running back in the draft. He's big, strong, powerful. He can pass protect as well.
I think he'll be better than Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah.
And we all know how much I like Zeke Elliott.
I think Fournette could be anything.
Yep.
Spend the farm, go up and get him. Give a genuine weapon behind Aaron Rodgers and watch that team fly.
Would you give up, just, I know you want to trade up, say you need to get the 8th pick in the draft. Would you give up Randall Cobb, Devonta Adams, and your first round pick?
That's too much. I'll give one of them up this year's first round and next year's first round.
To get into the top 10.
Yep.
Okay.
To go up to wherever I have to go to
I'd comfortably give Randall Cobb up, but it's all doesn't matter. Ted Thompson, the GM,
doesn't do it.
He will never do this. The only free agent he's ever signed is Jared Cook, and he's probably the reason they made the bloody playoffs. They had such a good run because he was so outstanding. The Green Bay Packers are not known to be involved in free agency or trades in the draft. They'll take someone with the 25th odd pick, and they won't be any good like they do every single year because they always finish around that mark. And it'll be all on Aaron Rodgers again next year. I want them to shake things up on the offense. I'm not saying Mike McCarthy needs to get fired, but he needs to change some things. He needs to find a way to get a running game going. But all in all, if you've got Aaron Rodgers and you're a Packers fan, you've got to be feeling pretty good going into next season. You're going to be just fine.
Patriots beat the Steelers. Everyone expected that, I think, didn't they?
It was pretty clinical. Like, it really was. The Patriots came out, just did what the Patriots do. The Steelers made, I think, 5 trips into the red zone and came away with nothing but field goals. And it was only...
And a turnover.
Well, the turnover, they were down. They had to go for that on fourth down. But still, it was 4 attempts from inside the 5.
Yeah.
And they came away with no points.
And they lost yards on the first 3 players.
Yeah. You can't afford to do that against the Patriots. They're too well coached. I'm not going to say they're too good, but they're just too well coached. They're not going to let it happen. As soon as Bell was out of the game, they put the safety over the top of Brown and completely shut him down.
And that's the thing. People are saying, oh, Le'Veon Bell cost us the game. True and not true.
Yeah, your defense still gave up 36 points.
Exactly. And the idea that I think if Bell had stayed in the game, they would have had to commit more to stopping him. I think that's fair to say. They only ran the ball 14 times with D'Angelo Williams. That's not a lot of carries. So, you know, and 6 with Le'Veon Bell before the injury. But what they did with Antonio Brown was they put Malcolm Butler, the best corner, on him, and Devin McCourty, who's their best safety, and probably everyone. He was drafted as a cornerback and made Pro Bowl his rookie year as a cornerback. So he's probably their second best corner as well. So they put 2 of their best players on him and said, you're not going to beat us with him. We'll take our chances with Bell. And I'm sorry to Steelers fans that you're going to get upset, but Bell did what he always does to you guys, and he let you down. And yeah, injuries happen. I get that, but it's consistent with this guy. There was 3 seasons ago, he got hurt, the backup got hurt, and they ended up playing with Toussaint, who was their 3rd string running back, in a playoff game that they lost. Start of this year, who knows? They could have won 4 more games at the start of this year and been the number 1 seed and been playing at home if Le'Veon Bell had been available. But no, he likes smoking weed too much and then trying to hide it.
Yep.
So
all
this added up, he lets you down too often. And you can say, oh, he's the best running back in the league. And he is. He is when he plays. But he always lets you down. And unless someone can get into that thick head of him and stop him being a moron every offseason and every season, I'm not saying he's a moron for getting hurt. That's just bad luck. You've got to find a way to have him when it matters. I don't care what Le'Veon Bell does against the Cleveland Browns in week 14 of the NFL season when he has 180 yards. Could not care less. I care what he does now, and it's not enough every year.
All right, that's the conference finals done and dusted. We'll have a look at the Super Bowl and the Pro Bowl and some other news from the NFL. The boys from the Vault podcast are in the studio with me, available on iTunes. Richie Garraway, James Arthur. All right, boys, it's only a week and a day away. Houston, Texas is the venue, and the New England Patriots will take on the Atlanta Falcons.
Pretty big. I think, Richie, it's our favourite day of the year. It's the
best day of the year by miles.
I think a lot of listeners will think AFL Grand Final is. But
spare me.
This is a much bigger day. It's on it. What excuse do you get to have a beer at 10 o'clock in the morning?
10?
Oh, do you need 8?
I was trying 7. To be polite for the radio.
get started nice and early. Yeah, as soon as the bar opens the door.
Look, it's an exciting matchup. It's the number 1 scoring defence of the New England Patriots versus the number 1 scoring offense of the Atlanta Falcons. So last time we had an offensive and defensive matchup like this, it was Denver-Seattle a few years ago, and Seattle blew Denver's doors off. But I cannot see this happening to the Patriots. The over is at 58 points right now. So over-under,
hang on. What does that mean in English? Do you expect more than 58 points to be scored on the day?
Yeah, yes. Total points by both teams. That's
so you can either bet over it or under it.
Okay.
So it's 58 points at the moment, which is I think it's
a record high for Super Bowls over-under. It's a huge number.
Well, given the Falcons got 44 in the conference and the Patriots got 36, it's a pretty reasonable bet, I would have thought.
Yeah, but the Falcons aren't playing the Packers.
Yeah,
and I won't bag the Steelers' defense. I think they've actually been pretty good all year.
Their pass rush killed them last week anyway.
Yeah. So look, I can't... You think back Super Bowls, other than that Seattle-Denver one, there's not many games like that where just a team gets their doors blown off. Yep. And there's not many high-scoring games. I think the great example is in 2003 when St. Louis Rams, who were the greatest show on turf, went in against Tennessee Titans, who were the third-ranked offense, and it was only like 21-20 the final score. So Super Bowls is a lot of pressure. Everyone plays a bit tighter, except if you're Tom Brady. And no one tends to go and score 60 points. Now, I could be wrong. These are two great offenses, but
I find the last 10 years, the Super Bowl has really changed. There was a while where the NFC, especially with the Cowboys and the 49ers, and it lasted for about a decade, where they were just so much better than the AFC. They were just blowouts. I distinctly remember I think it was the 49ers just blowing out San Diego one year. I think it was one of Darren Bennett's first years when he was there, or maybe he might have been on the practice squad. But
Stan Humphries was the quarterback for
him. That's a very good giveaway, you Kev.
There you
go. Those games, we haven't seen one like that in a long time in the NFL. In the last couple of years, the Denver game that you mentioned when the Seahawks really got a hold of them, I think there was one other, but all the rest are close. Like even the 49ers and the Ravens, that was a really close Super Bowl. Yeah, the lights going out drama of that game.
Yeah.
But Super Bowls have been close. They've been within a touchdown.
Well,
I think it's 8 of the last 10 have been within a touchdown.
Yep.
The Patriots have won 4 touchdowns since 2003, Super Bowls. Did I say touchdowns?
Yes, you did.
God, Super Bowls. And by a combined winning margin of 11 points.
Wow.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, they won their first couple with field goals right at the death.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's...
And they won last year by 4 points. Sorry, not last year, the year before when Seattle didn't run the ball
on the goal line.
But, so they've won some close games. And the two they lost to the New York Giants, sorry, Patriots fans, don't crash your cars, they were within 3 points and 4 points again. And so they're always close.
It took ridiculous catches, too, to turn those.
Yeah. So, look, I'm not expecting a blowout either way. I won't. I'll make my predictions next Sunday, but I think this could be one of the better Super Bowls we've seen for a few years because these teams are humming.
Statistically, what's the Falcons' average score during the regular
34.8, so I believe. I read that earlier today.
In modern-day football, that's a lot.
That's
very
high.
For those who are listening, that is really high.
People don't realize they've completely flown under the radar this year. Like they flew under the radar for us as well because Richie, he doesn't like the Atlanta Falcons. Don't mention it to him, but he hates them. And they've been one of the historically terrific offenses. So this is something... It's trying to explain, like, this team has been so good this year.
Yep.
And no one's really realized it until they blew Seattle's doors off a couple of weeks ago. Everyone thought, they might win a game. And then what they did to Green Bay last week, these two teams are running absolutely hot and at the right time.
Yeah, and if you just want to talk numbers with the Atlanta Falcons offense,
yep.
Points per game this year, they were first in the NFL with 33.8.
33, sorry.
Yards per game, they were second in the NFL with 415. Passing yards, just under 300 per game, that's third in the NFL, and rushing yards 120, which is fifth in the NFL. Every single offensive category that in the top five. I mean, that's an incredible effort. Yeah, there's teams.
They're a good team to watch, obviously.
100% they are. You could look at someone like the Saints, who I'm going to take a wild guess and say they're probably first in passing yards because they just throw it all over the
yard. Ding, ding, ding. Very correct.
But they would be close to last in rushing yards. This is a really, really balanced offense, and it's going to take. Yeah, if they don't win the Super Bowl, I think it's because, once again, Belichick has just completely outcoached his opposition because that's where he makes his money. Yeah, that's he's the best in the league at doing that. Last week, he took a complete washout wide receiver, Chris Hogan. Well, he spent all of his college, well, not all of his college, most of his college playing lacrosse. He made it onto a couple of NFL rosters in practice squads. He played in a handful of games, gets cut, never really did anything much. He ends up in New England, and in the biggest final short of the playoff. He has 180-odd yards and a bunch of touchdowns. And a lot of people would never have heard of this guy's name before. No. And the only reason we did is because he was featured on Hard Knocks when he was in Miami.
And they called him 7-Eleven.
Because he was always open.
You know, that's the only reason we know him.
And that's what Belichick does. This week, it could be somebody like Vereen or Blunt could go off for 170. You just don't know. He will spend a his week offense, watching film and prepping for this team.
His offense is insert white guy here. That's what he does. He just moves them all around. It'll be someone else's day next week. Like, Amendola's had a few quiet games.
Every
it
chance.
Wouldn't surprise me if he goes for 150 yards and two touchdowns.
Though, and you get into this deeper later, but isn't it more about pulling Matt Ryan and their offense apart?
That's what I can't see. What will Bill Belichick come up with to stop them? Because if you stop Julio Jones this year, it's told us that it doesn't matter. He missed two games and they still destroyed teams. That is the key moment of this game. What will Belichick do
personally,
to slow them down?
I think they have to get Matt Ryan off his spot.
You've got to get pass rush,
and you've got to get it in his face. You don't want him to be able to... If Matt Ryan can sit his feet and throw the football, forget it. He's going to hit his mark. He'll throw for 300 yards. But if you can get him moving around, get him off his platform, and all I mean by that is flush him out, get him running around trying to throw it. He can't do what Aaron Rodgers can do when he's running around.
What player can do that, though, on their front?
That's the concern.
Because they traded Chandler Jones away in the offseason because they're worried about guys leaving without getting something for him. They traded Jamie Collins away earlier in the year, who was their best pass rusher. You know, they don't... This is what gets me about them. Like, Ninkovic, I can't see him dominating Jake Matthews, who's been up there as one of the best left tackles in the NFL this year. Alex Mack has been the best center in the NFL this year by far. Taking him from Cleveland and bringing him over has made that a mediocre offensive line to a top 10 one. He is an outstanding player. The guards are solid. I can't see a Patriots defensive lineman dominating the game. Now, we've said that hundreds of times about Patriots players.
And they do it.
I couldn't see Chris Hogan going for 180 yards, but he did. But you know what I mean? Like, someone's going to step up. And that's what I can't wait to see, the chess game that Bill Belichick's going to play. He'll find someone that can... He'll find a little mismatch. Oh, Andy Levitar, the left guard, he steps left a bit slower than he steps right. All right, you're my quickest guy. I'm going to put you... No one's ever heard of you. I'm going to put you in the A-gap, and you shoot it, because he's a bit slower doing that, and he'll get 5 sacks. It'll be something like that he'll find, and he's always done it.
The Vault Studio NFL podcast, available on iTunes. Richie and James in the studio. Pro Bowl, we should talk about that. Because it would be the last chance we get to talk about that.
They sneak it in now between the end of the playoffs and the Super Bowl. What used to happen was it would be the week after.
In Hawaii.
The Super Bowl in Hawaii. And look, it had lost...
It was a joke.
Yeah, it was a joke.
Don't hold back.
But literally, no one was watching it. They've put it back into this time slot, and the ratings are back up.
Okay.
Like a normal... This is ridiculous. It rates almost as well as a normal Sunday night football game does.
Because people love football.
There's still stuff for it, and season's not over yet. That's the big difference. The season's not over. Now, the two teams that compete in the Super Bowl, they obviously can't take part, but it's something you happily say no thanks to because I'm playing in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
This game consistently, they're always trying to revamp it, make it a better game, try and get them to care more. But I think this year the line is about 82 points. And I've just looked back over the last three times the NFC's played the AFC in that format, because last year's was a little different. It's been 94 plus in the last 3 years. And one of those, it went over 100.
Take the over every year. There's no doubt about it. But what I've liked about this season, they've brought back, which it was in a few years ago, and they've brought it back, the skills challenge. So you had the best hands challenge, which Jarvis Landry won from the Miami Dolphins, where basically you run around to points and you have to catch it with one hand, catch it with two hands, catch it with your feet facing out, and do as quickly as you can, and the best time wins. And I thought that was really cool. They had the power challenge, where basically a player comes off the line, has to lift 250 pounds from the ground to above his head, lift it up, then go and pull a 300 pound weight backwards to a pertinent point. Two of them pull it at the same time, so one each, and then three of them have to drive a 700 pound weight big log forward, and then when that finishes, the fastest guy on the team has to sprint 40 yards and jump through a big fireworks flaming thing into a soft little area, and the quickest time wins. So that was NFC won that, which was really exciting.
And if you think that's completely ridiculous, they then moved on to the drone dropping the football from the sky.
Now you're just making stuff up. Now you're just making stuff up.
It drops at 44 miles per hour, yeah, which
it's coming down like a brick.
I'm not even going to tell you how fast that is in kilometers. It's fast. Odell Beckham won that. My favorite one was the precision passing, because that's real skill. Like, there's points everywhere.
And they were moving.
Yeah, and they were moving. And Phillip Rivers won that with 18 points. So do yourself a favor. If you've got a little interest in how well guys throw the ball in the NFL, I think Dak Prescott lost with 10 points, and he looked even impressive. It's really difficult. Watch that video. It's worth watching. And then they finished up with dodgeball just for a bit of fun, which the NFC won, and the NFC was the overall winner. You don't win anything for it. I think it's a good way of getting all the players from other teams a couple of days before the game together, competing in fun stuff that doesn't really matter, where everyone can really enjoy it, get to know each other, and then going into the games. It just creates a really good attitude, because I'm sure some of the guys on those teams don't like each other a hell of a lot. So you can you can make offensive linemen try and catch football and stuff like that, which is always entertaining. So look, the game's tomorrow, 12 o'clock our time. I personally don't, midday our time.
Does 7Mate have this, or is it only on ESPN?
I'm not sure if 7Mate have it. I haven't checked. I'd hope they would. It's on midday our time. It's worth having a look if you're at home. Certainly don't go taking the day off work for it.
It just sounds like a 1970s TV game show.
No one really tackles anyone in the game. The offensive
linemen...
You're not
allowed to blitz or something, I think?
You can't blitz. You have to run a 4-3, a whole bunch of stuff. Running backs, can't cut block. You can only run inside and outside zone, so you can't run counter traps and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
So it's very basic. It's somewhat enjoyable. Is it on 7Mate?
It is on 7Mate.
So it's on 7Mate. So check in if you're sitting home, you've got a day off or something. Certainly don't take the day off for it. Just watch the highlights later. Take the over on whatever betting company you want to. It will get it. Maybe take it on all of them if you're feeling that lucky. And just enjoy it for what it is. It's a bunch of guys who are very good at football, not trying. DNs will play running back. Offensive linemen will run around at receiver a bit, and it's just a bit of fun, but it's certainly not serious.
It's the 2017 version of It's a Knockout.
Yeah.
Remember that? They used to have
no.
They come and...
What year knocked, was that, Kev?
They knocked people out in the 70s.
Sorry.
Oh, the 70s. And, all sorts of stuff.
Well, I was only born in the late 80s, so I don't remember the 70s too well.
You need to catch up on these things on YouTube. It's a cultural experience. That what you just described, what they do at the Pro Bowl, is, without the football bit of it, is exactly what that game show used to be.
Have we got time to quickly touch on Kyle Shanahan before we get out of here?
Yeah, we have.
So he's the Atlanta Falcons offensive coordinator. He had another unofficial interview with the 49ers. Basically, the 49ers are praying to God that he accepts the job.
Yep.
He obviously wants the head coaching job. I don't think it's a good move for Kyle Shanahan. I've just been doing a bit of research on it today because I have nothing better to do but look at football. And Pro Football Focus is a site I like using to analyze a ton of players. They basically watch a player on every single play and give him a grade. And so it's not whether if he drops the ball, it couldn't necessarily be his problem. It could be a bad throw, all that kind of take everything into account.
Yeah.
Their offense, which is Matt Ryan's forte, Kyle Shanahan's forte, has no players rated above an 81 out of 100. They only have one player above an 81, which is their left tackle, who's 36-year-old Staley. Every other player is below 74, which is terrible. Terrible. They have, if Kaepernick is even interested in staying next year, he's rated a 61, which is one of the worst in the NFL. They have a terrible offense. Why would you leave Atlanta, who have one of the best offenses ever, when it's finally getting rolling, to take over a team where I feel like you have no chance of success?
I think Kev's got your answer.
He's drawing dollars down. If that's what it's all about with Kyle Shanahan, it's a big mistake. He should turn it down, wait another year, and pick one he wants.
Here's where you're not necessarily right. You always get a second chance. Almost everybody who fails at their first up get a second chance.
So you reckon he should take it, burn out, take the money, burn out, and then try and get back in somewhere
else. He will learn so much from that experience. Do you reckon Bill Belichick should have taken the Browns job? Probably not. But as it turns out, it was the best move ever. He learned a ton. and now he's arguably one of the best coaches of all time.
You've got to find out all the things you don't find out when you're second chair.
Yeah, when you're second fiddle.
When your first chair all of a sudden goes, whoa, I have to do that.
That's all well and good, but this 49ers team could be the worst again next year and the year after and the year after.
But expectations of that 49ers team is very low. So
yeah, win six games. It's a success.
The difficulty we have, and I wish Steve Salisbury was here to back me up, is that Jed York likes to fire people.
Yeah.
If he has a bad year next year, he could be gone.
Yeah.
He'll get paid out all those millions, guaranteed.
And I promise you, the Atlanta job will not be waiting. Kyle, stay in Atlanta. Do me a favor. Do not do it. Wait a year and take a better job.
Last thing, Goodell has to give the trophy to the Pats if they win. He better not chicken out of that.
He won't chicken out.
Yes, he won't. Now, you'll be back next Sunday, so you'll be able to give a full rundown of the game just before it starts.